Luke chapter 10. Yeah, that's it. Forgot it. All right, Luke 10, if you want to get there. We'll be at the back of it in 38, at the end of it, I shouldn't say the back. 38 through 42, we'll get there in a moment. There was a time in my life, I know it's hard to tell now, that I used to lift a little bit of weights. Never that serious. I mean, I thought I was, but it's always funny for these young guys that do it now, and there's some older people that do it, but you can always, I don't know really what the proper term is, I just meatheads, or the guys that take it a little more serious than I did. There's always those guys, you know, the guys that have to, they don't have to, but a lot of them walk with their arms like this, you know, because they're so big that they rub their arms and all this stuff, and they've got these real big legs, and they're kind of like, walk like a bulldog because they're so big. And I look at those guys, and it was funny back in the day. It's been a while. I hope to never set foot in a gym again if I get my wish. But I remember watching those guys, and it was funny, like they would lift all these weights, and they could lift a small car. But if they had to jog to their car, if it started raining, they'd be out of breath. And I'm like, because they did absolutely no cardio. And it's just funny. They didn't see the need to do that. Then you got the other extreme. I don't know that I've ever tried running. I've dabbled in running. I've ran a couple of 10Ks in my younger days just because I had enough stamina to not really train for them. But I detest running. If it comes to running or lifting weights, I'd rather lift weights. I'll just be honest. People talk about a runner's high. To me, you have to be high to enjoy running. I don't like running. I really don't. And I've told y'all my goal is just to keep my pants so I can wear them. That's all I care about. I mess around. I swim a little bit in the pool and got on an elliptical. But I detest running. And then there's these people that it's okay to run. It really is. Nothing wrong with it. But then these people that go like far the extremes. They're like running these 50-mile races. And then you look at them. Yeah, I know. And you look at them, you're like, you just need to eat some red meat. I mean, because they're just like, it looks like, honestly, they're a common cold away from dying because they're so skinny. But now some of you have got it figured out. Now, I think I personally got it figured out, no cardio or no weightlifting at all. But some of you that work out have it figured out. There's a healthy balance somewhere that's good. You don't want to lift so much and get so big because, I mean, then you can't do anything. You can't even swing a ball back. You can't shoot a basketball because you're so tight in your muscles. And then the same thing with running. You run so much that you break your muscles down. And honestly, any little thing can get you sick. And so there has to be a healthy balance in your physical life. Now, that's with everything. Okay? We don't want to go to extreme on anything. What we're going to look at today, we've been looking at some disciples. We started last week. Today we're going to look at a couple of sisters, Mary and Martha. There's this problem really in the church. There's this misconception. I'm not saying it's widespread, but when we study Mary and Martha, they're two contrasting ladies. They're wired a little bit differently, and because they're humans, we're all wired a little bit differently, but we lump people into categories a lot of time. There's this issue that we look at Martha, and then we look at Mary, and we go, well, I'm a Martha, or I'm a Mary, and that's just how I'm wired. And I want us to get this morning, that it's not either or, okay? That we really should be a combination of the two of these ladies. And so I want to explain that this morning. It's kind of like this. I don't know who the genius was that came up with Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, but whoever they are, they ought to be in some kind of Hall of Fame because I love them, all right? I love Reese's Peanut Butter Cup. I love it in a blizzard. I love it plain, whatever, however you want to do it. I love it. What it is it's chocolate and peanut butter combined. Now, I love peanut butter. I eat a scoop or two of peanut butter a day just out of the jar. I know some people think that's gross, but I love peanut butter. I like chocolate. I do. But when you put them together, you've got some sort of heaven in Reese's peanut butter, right? So it's either or, but I was like, no, I want both. Now, the same thing with Martha and Mary. We can say, well, you know, I'm wired like Mary. I'm more into just sitting at Jesus' feet. Or we can say, well, I'm more Martha. I'm driven to task. I do things like that. But I think, honestly, scripturally, that we're called to be both. There's this combination. When we put them together, like the Reese's Peanut Butter Cup, then that's when we get what I believe God intends for us to be. So go to Luke 10:38, and it says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. I find that interesting right off the bat that it's Martha opened her home. Obviously, it could be that Martha is the elder of the two and that it's her home and Mary lives with her, is what it says here. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." And this is Jesus. These are red letters. "Martha, Martha." Now, he's not being condescending. He's saying this in a loving way. The Lord answered, "You are worried and upset about many things." Some translations say anxious. "But only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Now, this doesn't mean only one thing, that you shouldn't do this at any other time. But at this present time, he said only one thing is needed. He knows he's about to go die on the cross. He knows what's important right now. He's not telling Martha that work is not important, because the Bible tells us to be diligent in our work. But he's talking about this one particular time. But we have this tendency when we read this to go, "Oh, I'm Martha. I'm the one that's busy in the background. I'm the one doing all the work." And then you got people that all they want to do is this and do that, and they don't want to help out. And I'm Martha, so I understand where Martha's coming from. Before we jump on Martha too, because Jesus did rebuke her. It was a gentle rebuke, but Jesus did rebuke her. But before we jump on Martha, I want us to understand a little bit about what's going on here. First of all, if you backtrack and read the start of chapter 10, Jesus has just sent out the 72. He sent out the disciples, the not only the 12, but he sent out 72 to go, and they've already come back. So they are more than likely, almost certainly, following with Jesus as he goes. If you go back to Luke 8 or 9, I believe it is, then it gives the description of the women that are following with Jesus. Mary Magdalene and Johanna and all these people that it says that they supported Jesus' ministry. So you've got some women that are following along with Jesus, and they're giving money and helping out his ministry. So it's like this. When Jesus comes to your house, it's not that you're just inviting Jesus to eat. It's Jesus' party of 100. Okay? So put that into context. Then we've got this Near East hospitality thing that was really in effect, because we've talked about this all throughout the Bible. If you go all the way back to Genesis and you talk about Rebecca at the well and all those things, it was very impolite to not be hospitable. I know that sounds crazy, but you know, today we don't do that. Somebody shows up at our house today, we don't go, "Hey, I've got a bed, you can come." No, we don't do that. That's what they did then. When a stranger come to town or when a friend come to town, you made room for them. You prepared a meal for them. You invited them in. You fed their animals. The servant would wash their feet. That's how things were just done. So Martha is doing nothing really out of the ordinary when she does this. And then we have Martha is wired that way as well. Martha's wired a little bit different than Mary. We're wired a little different. So we understand that. Last Saturday at our house, we had for a baby shower for a friend. And it was just a group, about 20 of us that came over, adults and then some kids. And so I planned this. And Lori knows, obviously, because she's my wife. Mandy will back me up on this. I'm very good at planning stuff. I have a lot of good ideas, in my opinion. What I'm not real good at is coming up with the details on how to do those events. You know, I told Mandy a couple years ago, "We're going to do a Christmas thing. We're going to reach this many people." And she's like, "Yeah, how are you going to do it?" I was like, "I don't know. You'll figure that out. I'm just telling you, this is what we're going to do. I'm just going to share the gospel." And she's like, "Well, you got to have a few more ideas than that." So I planned this shower and I invited everybody. And then a week before, Lori goes, "Hey, how are we going to do the shower?" I'm like, "What are you talking about?" She goes, "I mean, what's going to happen?" I was like, "Well, I'm going to cook some hamburgers. We're going to feed them, open some gifts, swim, and go home." She's like, "No." I'm like, what are you talking about?" She goes, "It's a baby shower." I was like, "Yeah, well, the baby's not here, so he doesn't really care." And she said, "Yeah, but it's a boy, so we need blue cups and blue." I'm like, "What? Why can't I just go to Dollar General and get styrofoam cups?" And she's like, "That's not how it works." She goes, "We need a cake." I was like, "Why do we need a cake? We can just do this." She goes, "It's a baby shower." I'm like, "Yeah, but it's just friends." And so she said, "We got to do this. We got to decorate the house." And heaven forbid, my kids were ready to kill me too, if they're old enough to understand this, because we had to clean the house, all three of us. And we don't clean it right either, as was talked about in my Sunday school class. I won't call any names, but they say men don't clean the house right. They say we don't do it right on purpose, but it's not that. It's just that what's considered clean to us as clean is not clean to most women. So that's right, yeah. Amen to that. So all the kids were upset because they're having to clean, we're having to mow, they're doing all this stuff because I thought, hey, it's a baby shower. It's not a big deal. Kid didn't even know it. And we'll have some friends over, give them some gifts, we'll go home, we'll call it a night. That's not how it works. So Lori is Martha. She's wired like Martha. I make her nervous. I make her anxious because, you know, about an hour before, I'm sitting in a recliner watching Major League Baseball. And she's like, really? I'm like, well, it's too late to do anything now. Might as well just relax. That's not how it works in her mind. That's Martha, okay? Martha is worked up. Martha's like, Jesus, would you please tell Mary to get in here? Because you're bringing your guest of 100, and somebody's got to serve. And I get tired of doing this. And Jesus said calmly, Martha, Martha, Mary has chosen what is best. Now, let's look at Mary for a second. Here's Mary. And we see Mary more than once in the Bible, three times. And Mary seems to be always around Jesus' feet, or she's anointing Jesus all the time. And so Mary has chosen what is best. Now, this came up in Sunday school, and I'm a big believer in this, and I was quoted. We are to be silent where the Bible is silent and speak where it speaks. But I want you to understand this. I did research this a great deal this week, and every scholar and every commentator said the same thing on this. Jesus isn't insinuating, or Luke's not insinuating in this text, that Mary never serves. It's just that when Jesus got in the house, Mary goes, oh, serving time, stop. It's time for me to spend time with Jesus. Mary had more than likely, about 99%, helped Martha get to this point. Martha would do it again later, and Mary will help her later. So it's not like Mary's saying serving is not important, getting ready to feed Jesus is not important, but what's more important is to spend time with Jesus Christ. And so Mary has this part figured out. Now, but understand, we don't use an excuse to go, well, I want to be like Mary. I just want to sit at Jesus' feet all the time. That's not what Mary did. Mary did when Jesus was around. Mary seemed to have some understanding. Why? Because she was always at Jesus' feet. So she probably had this feeling, this understanding that Jesus actually was telling the disciples that they couldn't hit because men, we are a little more dense than women. So Mary might have actually figured it out that Jesus' time may be coming to an end. So I need to spend even more time with him. So let's look at this in context for a second. When we are Martha without Mary, we forget why we serve. Let's back up. Martha, she's tore up. She's like, Jesus, will you tell her to get in here? That's what we do, right? When we get so caught up on the serving, on the details, we forget why we do it. Hey, Bible school is an easy time to do that. All these teachers, I mean, and God bless them. If it comes down to me teaching, we might shut Bible school down. I'm just telling you. Then we got teachers that come teach. That's even more amazing. Because you would think their first week of summer, they're like, no, I hate kids. I don't want to be around kids. I would be like, I understand. Now, I'm talking about the actual teaching, the Bible study. The leading around part, it's not that difficult. I didn't even really do my job this year. Lance bailed me out, but it's still not that difficult, okay? You get to sit around and drink drinks a lot of the time, just to be honest. But the teaching part is tough. Even the leading can get tough. And so you want to snap a kid in half? You want to shake him? Like, would you pay attention? Quit jumping on stuff. Quit putting gum on my chairs. And I'm being serious about that. Y'all quit putting gum on my chairs, okay? That happened this week a lot. Cleaning lady had a pocket full of gum yesterday. I know it wasn't most of y'all. Just letting you know. But it's easy to want to go and just shake a kid and go, don't you hear me? Jesus said to be patient all the time. And you're like, well, you're not doing that. But so we're so wrapped up into our serving. I don't really like confessing, but I'm going to. I'm going to confess. I guess it was 2, 3, 4 Wednesday nights ago. Catfish told me not to do it, and I did it anyway. I told everybody, hey, we're going to work on the playground. I need all of you guys to come. Yeah, well, apparently none of you got that text, okay? There was 3 men here that night, 4 maybe. Now, I'll give Doc Penny a pass. He's been here almost every week. He was gone. nothing going to single him out. But there was like, I'll tell you, me and Catfish and two more. Well, they caught the brunt of my frustration that night. And I'm out there, and we couldn't get anything done right. Everything was messing up. And this is what I told them. I was like, I don't even want this stupid playground. I ain't the one that checked playground. I checked sanctuary, and I wanted the new sanctuary done. And all these people that want the playground, they don't ever show up. They don't do anything to help. And I don't care if this thing burns down right now because I'm so tired of this playground, all right? That's what I said. Catfish is my witness. And Anthony. So I apologized to Anthony later. I was like, Anthony, the next day, Anthony goes, I'll be here in the morning at 7 to help. And I was like, Anthony, I didn't mean it like that. He goes, yeah, you probably did. And I was like, no, I really didn't. I was like, you just caught my frustration. It was a long day. I was like, and I'm glad it was you and Catfish that caught it because y'all understand enough to know. I was like, I'm very happy with this playground. It's hard to get stuff to do. But now that I've confessed, it's time for all of you to confess that y'all are running from my text. When I say we need help, that kind of means we need some help on this stuff. All right, I'm just throwing that out there to you. So here's the point. I was out there serving, doing ministry, shoveling rock, doing whatever we were doing that night. And it wasn't like, man, I'm so thankful for this, that these kids are going to enjoy this for generations. And I was like, no, I hate this thing right now. All right, because I was caught up in the details. I wasn't looking at the big picture. Now, you all get like that, too. You're just not going to confess it up here. You stay in that nursery, and you're like, I hate these kids. I don't know. This mama shouldn't have brought this kid today. This kid's sick, or this blah, blah, blah. And you gripe. Or how many times have you actually done ministry, went to somebody's place and served, and you complained about it? You like Martha. You're like, Jesus, would you tell him to get in here? Now look, y'all are gonna lie if you don't say that. Now some of you can't even say anything because you don't go serve. But I'm just telling you, those that go, like we called a work day at the ranch a couple of times in the last year. Everybody that went over there knows they're like going through the list in their head of people that aren't there. They should be here. They ain't got nothing to do. Yeah, because I did that. I was like, well, so and so, I know what they're doing right now. They could be over here helping us. Here's what it does when we do the work like Martha, without the understanding of why we do it, then it has a tendency to make us ungrateful. And then we start calling out other people, and we're doing it with the wrong motives. Now, that's Martha without Mary. So the other thing is, when we're Mary without Martha, we don't get anything done. Let's just be honest. Now, what's most important? Most important is what Mary was doing, spending time at the feet of Jesus. Every day you should do that. Every day you should spend time with Jesus. Every day you should spend time in the Word of God. Every day you should pray. That is most important. Don't get me wrong. And it should be the first thing you do. Why? Because if you don't, you end up like Martha. You end up serving without Jesus filling you. And then you do it for the wrong reason. Then you gripe and complain. So you get filled with Jesus like Mary was. But remember what I said. Mary had already helped serve. Mary would still serve. She still did other things. So Martha, without the Mary, looks kind of weird. You end up griping on a playground. Or you go to the boys' ranch and you start thinking all the people that should be there helping because they're lazy and they don't love Jesus. But when you're Mary without Martha, all you want to do is talk about spiritual things all the time. You don't want to help. I can't tell you the time people have told Mandy, hey, just take me off the nursery list. I'm good with serving. I'm like, what? Yeah, I don't care anything about that. I can't tell you the people that love the block party, but they don't want to come do anything the week before or let it hit 8:01 and that thing's over. They're like, whoom, you hear the parking lot peeling with tires. Because, oh, it's fun sharing Jesus to some people, but they don't want to do any work. See, when we got Mary without Martha, nothing gets done. Most of our children, now look, it's not a big deal to get adult Sunday school teachers. It's not, and I'm not saying they're just running out of our ears. But I can almost always get somebody to teach an adult Sunday school class. But when you start saying, hey, will you teach what? Well, it's maybe children. No, I'm good. I'm busy. I'm like, but what about next year, 2028? No, I'm busy that year. I've already got my calendar booked. Can't teach kids. A lot of the people that teach kids, some of them are married, but a lot of them have that Martha tendency because they just have a service mentality. When we do picnics, guess who does the setting up and the cleaning up? It's a lot of people with that Martha mentality. Because if we just have Mary in us, we never get any of that stuff done. If we just have Mary, we never get any of the ministry done at the boys' ranch. If we just have Mary in us, then nobody goes to Mo's senior adult yards because we're too busy in Bible study. We're like, oh, this is just so great. Jeremiah is so great. It's really speaking to me. Really, it should be telling you to go mow somebody's yard that needs more yard mowing. Because I'm just telling you, you can't have this. You can't say it's changing your life and not do anything for other people. Because here's what it boils down to. There are times in my life, I'll be the first to tell you, there are times in my life where I am in this more than others. There are times when I pray more than others. There are times where I'm closer to Christ. Never once in my life, never once, and you can talk to me afterwards and say yours is different, never once have I really been dialed into the Word of God, really been praying, really been walking in the Spirit that every day I did not get convicted about something I was not doing for somebody else. And it can be as simple as, you're not loving Lori the way you need to be loving her. You're not spending time with your children the way you need to be spending time with them. You're not sharing the gospel the way you need to be sharing the gospel. You're not visiting the hospitals the way you need to be visiting. You're not encouraging people the way you need to be encouraging them. Because every time I dial into this, Jesus wants to draw me closer to Him, to be more like Him. And when I read this, when I spend time at His feet, He's not going to say, you don't ever have to serve. You just keep preaching and that's all you got to do. That's not what He's ever going to say to me. He's going to say, if you really believe this, if it's really changing you, then get out there and do something about it. So we can't just be Mary. Here's the thing, and we're about to wrap it up. When we're Martha without the Mary, we have a tendency to get bitter. Right? Think about that. When you're doing all the serving and nobody's helping you, you got a tendency to get bitter. Look, I'll just pick on Lori because I love her. She's Martha, all right? Josie's got a little bit of Martha, maybe. Me and Ty don't have very much Martha, especially when it comes to cleaning the house. And you want to get her riled up, so her start cleaning the house, and him be on his whatever he's on video, and me sitting there kicked up watching sports. And you can just see fumes just start coming out. I'm like, really? I'm like, looks clean to me. And then you have to give her a buffer for like an hour. Don't talk to her. I'm like, don't talk to her for an hour, Ty. Just let her calm down. Kidding. We love her. If it wasn't for her, we'd be living in a city dump. I mean, that's just, but it'll make you bitter, right? Because nobody's helping. I don't ask for much around here. All I want y'all to do is just do that. And then she finds my socks in another room, finds grapes in his closet. I don't know how grapes get in somebody's closet. But it can make you bitter because you feel like you're doing it all by yourself, right, Martha's? Y'all know what I'm talking about. But here's the thing about if we're Martha without the Mary. But if we're Mary without the Martha, we tend to get self-consumed. Let's just be honest. When all we do is think about our spiritual growth in the Word of God and we don't think about anybody else, we get self-consumed. And all we want to do, and some preacher said it, we've got enough Bible knowledge to last us 7 lifetimes. It's time that we do something about it. It's time that we actually put it into practice. And so we have to guard against this, putting him of being one or the other. He put up John 15:5, and just give you one point of reference for both of these. John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And then put up Hebrews 13:16. And do not forget to do good and share with others. For with much sacrifices, God is pleased. So, I mean, there's scripture backing both of them. We are to do good things like Martha did. We are to do those good things. The Bible doesn't say not to do them. We are to do good things and sacrifice and serve. But then we have to remember what John 15:5 says. Apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. So when we do those things, we do them with the right mentality, the right heart. We don't do them to get glory. We don't do them for our own recognition. We don't do them to check it off the list. We do it. We do Bible school. We do block party. We do mission trips. We do everything we do, whether it's mowing a yard and taking somebody food. We do it all for the glory of God. And when we get the combination right, when we get rid of the either or, and we get the chocolate and the peanut butter combined, when we get Martha and Mary combined, that's how we are called to live out in Christ. It takes balance. It does. It takes balance. Just like I told you at the beginning, We don't want to be the guy that's walking through the gym with his arms like this and he can't move and can't get in his Jeep because he's so big. We don't want to be that guy, okay? We also don't want to be the guys that are winning. Well, just I shouldn't say that. We don't want to look like those people that are winning the marathons. I don't like the way they look. I mean, they're just so skinny. It's like, can somebody just give them like a real Coke? And give them some a Mexican fiesta at a Mexican restaurant. Just put some weight on them. I don't want to look like that. Maybe you do, okay? But we don't want to look like that. There has to be balance. There has to be balance in our walk with Christ. We are called to do good deeds. We are called to serve. We are called to minister. But the most important thing is to spend time with Christ. And out of that flows all the works. Would you stand, please? Bow your heads and close your eyes. Brother Dave's going to come. And he's going to play something here in just a moment. And here's how we do it at Danville Baptist Church. If you want to sing, by all means, I want you to sing. And you sing along with him. If you don't want to do that, then you pray. The altar's always open. I'll be down front if you want to talk to me. And let me share one thought with you. If you're here today, and maybe some of this made sense, but maybe some of it didn't, I want to share something with you real quick. One day, all of us are going to leave this earth, and we're going to stand before a holy God. And we're going to give an account for what we did with Jesus. Now, if we're like Mary, if we desire to spend time with Jesus, if we want Jesus and can't get enough of Jesus, if that's true in your life, then that means you have a relationship with him. That means at some point you've decided to put your faith in him and you've decided to trust him. You've decided to give your life to him. But for some of you in here this morning, you may have never done that. And in my job, I'm always bombarded with bad news. And I've had a couple of pieces delivered to me this week, just bad diagnosis for people that are under 50 years old. So if you're in here and you're saying, I got time, you just don't know when your time is up on this earth. You never know when God says it's time for them to leave this earth. And when you stand before God, the only thing that's going to matter is what did you do with Jesus? Did you trust in him or did you reject him? And the Bible says if you trust in him, he'll be faithful to save you. That means you call out to him, ask him to save you. If you're here this morning, you've never done that. The Bible says today is a day of salvation. Get that right. Brother Dave, you go ahead and lead us.